You have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5. James, the fifth chapter, we're closing off this series. It's been 3 months. We started in the book of James, and we've had our toes stepped on. We've been challenged. But this morning, I'm praying that we can lift a whole level of faith as a church, as a local church, and as a group of people. If our faith level can lift somewhere this morning, that we'll be able to see some results of the message this morning immediately. How many believe that? Yes. Three or four people. How many believe that?
Yes.
And so, you know, the Word of God is not meant to be a carrot on a stick. It's meant for us to possess and to walk in. If all it is just something that keeps us going and never really goes anywhere, then I submit to you we're wasting our time. This book has been very pointed and instructive and has afforded me the opportunity to talk to you from my heart today. My desire is that every one of you prosper in the Lord. You and your family being a part of New Life means the world to Terry and I. We are very blessed to be a part of this local church, and I think we're one of the best in our community. From the time I walk through these doors, I've told you I always will preach the word and do it with no compromise. Amen. To not say these things to you that I'm about to say would be disingenuous and less than what God has mandated for me. We're gathered together as family this morning. I want to speak to you from my heart. Comfortable has been the enemy of growth here at New Life. One of the things that is a dangerous thing for a group of people to do is to get comfortable with one another. That may seem opposite from what is common sense. I mean, we want to be comfortable together, and it's not that I'm talking about. Love hanging out with you guys. We love hanging out with each other. You know, this is the first church I pastored. We're meeting on Wednesday nights over at 8, and we're here till 9 o'clock. People like hanging out, gabbing, talking. I get that. But there's a world out there to be saved. This is the end times. It's harvest time. It's time to go and get the harvest. And so I want to encourage you to pray with me. I don't want to grow for the fact of just growing. I don't want people from other churches, but I want people to be saved. I have a heart for people to be saved. And I'm asking that all of us. I can't do it on my own. Just a few of us can't do it on our own. We've got to go to the next level now. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. Look around you at the empty seats. I almost had a notion when I pastored my first church in New York. We used to take all the empty seats and stack them alongside the walls. Pray for them. We'd pray for them, and then everybody would stack the empty chairs up. And so it gave us a visual of where we needed to be. And as we started to do that, every week we had less and less chairs to stack until we couldn't stack chairs. We actually had to bring chairs out. And so I'm asking that you pray with me that we'd be effective and people come back. I went to see Tim Sheets yesterday up in Maranatha. Tim was here a couple months ago. How many were here for Tim Sheets' meeting? And one of the things he prophesied was that the prodigals were going to come back to the church. The prodigals that have left because they're hurt or they got interested in something else or for whatever reason was going to come back. And he got a word saying that there were over a million prodigals that would come back to the church.
Hallelujah.
And the prophetic word went on to say there's a billion people that are yet to be saved on this globe. Can you imagine a billion people? We're starting to see it in pockets everywhere. And so I'm asking that you pray with me. We're going into the fall year, fall of the year. Things will change a little bit, as they always do. The seasons change us. People will be coming back to church. People will be thinking about church. We've been aggressive in our advertising, everything. But one of the things I'm asking you to do is just open up your mouth and invite somebody. But just, if you don't do that, if you're not comfortable doing that, their soul needs to be saved. If they never come in this building, I want to see them in heaven. So I'm asking that it's tough. We get routine. I get that. There's a thing, you know, we kind of live by the calendar here in Indiana. This is, you know, fall time's coming and fire pits and fun and family and church on Sunday morning. But our main purpose is to bring in the harvest. When we get visitors and they come and they see us kind of hanging out together and being a family, and their question is, where do I fit? Everybody kind of knows everybody. Where do I fit? Where am I supposed to be? I oftentimes stand here on Sunday morning when we have greeting time, and I won't greet, I'll look. I'm not doing that because I don't want to be friendly. I'm kind of watching people, and they go to the same people every Sunday. Because we know each other. Anyway, you know, and then we talk, and I oftentimes it takes 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes to gather everybody back together. Because we're a friendly bunch. But when I've seen visitors, they kind of greet 2 or 3 people, and then they stand there and watch everybody like I am. Come on, somebody. Let's make them feel welcome. We don't want to lose them out the side door because they think, man, this is not the place for me. Is that okay for me to talk like that this morning? So I'm talking to family. I love you all so much. We need to go to the next level. We need to reach the lost. That's a mandate for us. We're the only organization that exists solely for its non-members. Come on, somebody. Comfortable has been the enemy of growth and harvest for a lot of churches. And we're about to get uncomfortable. We're about to see people come in. They'll be different from us. They'll do different things. They won't be religious. They won't know when the proper time is to lift hands or clap hands. And we'll have to disciple them. Come on, somebody. We're going to the next level as a church. And we want everybody to go. We don't want you to be uncomfortable, but it's going to get crowded. It's the end times. We need to bring in the harvest. Uncomfortable, sweat, work, prayer, those things. And so our priorities need to be focused. We're in that part of James where there's some promises. James speaks matter-of-factly. This letter was written, James, about 60 AD. It's around 27 years after Christ's ascension. And we see that order is brought about by James as to the function of the local church. While it's necessary for us to go and preach the gospel and to see conversions, this we must do, it is also imperative that each one be committed to a local assembly and there to be trained up, nurtured, and released to go and make disciples. It's within that framework that James writes the following. James is a pastor. You can hear his pastor's heart. And he just says in verse 13, he said, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. So often we overlook when we all go through bad things happen to good people. I was to a funeral the other day is Dan and Dan here? Oh, Dan's up here. Diane here with you? She's in the kitchen. Okay. And they lost their son-in-law, Pedro Vasquez. And I was to a funeral. There was probably, how many would you say was there? 300? About 300 over in Plymouth. And pastor got up and shared a little bit and then had call for salvation. Probably about 60 people stood up and received Christ. It was amazing, wasn't it? I would say 60. Maybe more. I was amazed. It's the greatest thing. You can put the fun in funerals sometimes. Come on. Because we're all going to face that someday. And it was a tremendous thing to see so many people saved. But James is speaking from his heart. He says, if any among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. Come on, someone. Listen to what this says. And there's no maybes or ifs or He's just matter of fact. This pastor that has been pastoring for many years, he's saying to them, the prayer of faith will save the sick. How does he know that? Because he's seen that functioning within the local church. And then he says in verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know, we overlook the fact, one of the things that has been whittled away is the power of the local church. We have so many ways that people can receive the gospel that there are many that feel like, well, I don't need to go to church because if I go to church, I've got to fuss with people and people make me mad and I don't want to be there. I kind of like sit home and watch TV and or go to special functions, special meetings, and that's my church. We lose the power of the local church. How many know it's powerful to be part of a local church? Yeah. Number one, you get protection. Number two, you get teaching. You get people that really know you. Oh, there's that Rick again, pontificating. See, we get to know one another. There's a guy that tells bad jokes. You know, we get to know one another. And there's power in the local church. And the local church is promoted in every book of the New Testament after the Gospels. In the book of Acts, we see many references to the power and the veracity of the local church. As a matter of fact, Acts starts the local church. We see Paul and Barnabas moving among the local churches. Romans 16, verse 1 in the book of Romans, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Caesarea. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 2 says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, for first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. Galatians, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia. In Ephesians, to him be glory in the church, Ephesians 3:21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. In the book of Philippians, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. You can't have bishops and deacons that are self-appointed. Bishops and deacons are over a local church for a purpose. Or elders and deacons, bishops/elders. Colossians chapter 4, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church that is in his house. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy, Paul writes Timothy, but if I am delayed, I write to you so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Philemon says, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Epipha, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. People say, well, I can have church in my house. Well, the reason why people were having church in their house was because they couldn't meet publicly anywhere. Hello. Hebrews 12:23, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. And in the book of John, 3 John 5, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church. The local church is a powerful organization that God intended to plant in areas of the world, in neighborhoods, so that people could come together and congregate and become and establish the kingdom of God. Yeah. It's very important. It's imperative that local churches exist. And just like marriages, people say, well, I don't need to get married. I just need to live together with somebody. We're married in the eyes of God. I don't need to do that. And marriage has been cheapened. Marriage takes on all kinds of forms. Lead story in Charisma last week. A mother gave away her son and they reunited when he got older. And he said, I've always loved my mother. I want to marry her. Mother says, I love my son. I'll go to jail, but I want to marry my son. Lead story, Charisma Magazine. We've cheapened marriage. We've cheapened the church. The church is now any group of people that get together. I'm the church. You're the church. I hear that all the time. I'm an individual. I'm the church. No, you're not the church. You're part of the church. You're a member of the church. of the local church is so very important. And we're going to see that being effective. James says, is there any sick among you? Call for the elders of the church. How do you do that if you're not part of a local church? I told somebody sometime, call Benny Hinn and see if he'll come pray for you. I love Benny Hinn, don't get me wrong, but he can't be my pastor. I could call him today and say, hey, Benny, can I come see you? I probably wouldn't even get him. Are you there? And so we look at the church in a different way because it's been watered down and it's meant something that it never was meant to be. The strength and power of the local assembly is addressed time again in the Holy Scriptures and not to be looked upon lightly. When a traveling ministry comes to an area and has to rent a room for their ministry with no support from the local church, they are already suspect. It's quiet in here. I believe in traveling ministries. I believe in the fivefold ministry, traveling around. I believe that. We've received that. We had an evangelist here last week. How many understand that was a powerful time? But he submitted to the local church. Submitted to the authority of the local church. When any traveling ministry comes time and time again and no local church accepts them, they're already suspect. They're not adding to the church, they're taking away from the church. Come on, someone. Jesus said, I will build my government. That's the ecclesia. Ecclesia means government. I will build my government and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It was God's idea to build the local church. Early on in the first century AD, the local church meant that one church was part of a city, to the church in Ephesus. Man has made divisions. I said last week I heard from five, I didn't hear from anybody today, but last week I heard from five pastors in the area were praying for one another. Before church at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock I got a text. And we all started to text. Matter of fact, I started the text last week. But five of us were praying for one another in our local churches. Why? Because we recognize the power of the local church. And I'm not naive enough to believe that everybody in this area is going to come to this church. Because we're not for everybody. But it's the power of the local church that's important. And God puts His imprint on it. Just like He does marriage. A husband and wife are a picture of Christ and the church. How do we function? How do we practically work that out? We can't just say we're part of the church and but we don't go anywhere. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to know the veracity and the power of our local church. God did not set up extracurricular places for us to do our thing. He set up a structured, well-ordered organism in each area so that Christians could be recognized, used, glorified, and powerfully demonstrate the kingdom of God within the confines of a local church. Church life is where the nuts and bolts of ministry get worked out. Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he set elders in a local assembly and trained the local fellowship in the ways of the Lord. When Paul went anywhere, he established and he set in elders. And then he spent time, sometime years, 2 or 3 years, establishing a local church with leadership. He didn't just say, well, anytime you guys want to get together, you just come and we'll have special meetings every few years. No, the power of the local church. I'm going somewhere with this because James says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders. God wants to do something here this morning. He wants to put His imprint and blessing on this local church. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith, anointing them with oil. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. So it is within this framework that we follow James into the construct of prayer for those that have a need within the local assembly. Listen to what he says. He's talking to the local assembly. He's talking to the dispersed Christians after the persecution in Jerusalem. But he's still talking to the Christians that are part of the local churches, some meeting in houses, some meeting in public places. He said, are any among you suffering? He says to pray. One of the functions of the local church is to pray together. One of the efforts that we try here as a church is to most of the time pray at least a little bit together so that we can get excited about that function that has commanded us. Not for nothing, when I first came, man, we used to pack that prayer room. I mean, no, we have prayer at 9 o'clock right in this prayer room. Anybody's welcome. You don't have to go through any classes or wear a badge or anything. I'm a prayer. I want you to cry out to God with us. And the function of that prayer, God honors those prayers. He said, is there any suffering among you? Posting and pacing and counseling, posting on Facebook and all of that, are all ways to cope with mental, physical, or spiritual problems. I get that. And sometimes we just need to sit down over a cup of coffee with somebody and just unload. How many do that? Come on. You just unload. Sometimes my wife and I just unload. But the prayer is the bullseye. Everything else is within that. I get that. I get the counseling. I get that pacing. And sometimes I'll go for a run and I'm glad nobody's listening. I get that. But prayer is the bullseye. And so James very practically with a pastor's heart, he says, if you're suffering, pray. And then he says, if you're cheerful, is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Man, how practical is that? And then he says something very seriously. Verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Anyone among you sick? And there's a difference. I want to just stop for a minute. Going out and ministering to the world, to the masses, should be done by all. Jesus sent out the 12 and he sent out the 70. He said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you've received, freely give. And I get that. Whenever we go out to Walmart, we go to Kroger's and we're on the street, somebody's sick, somebody's crippled, pray for them. God will heal them. Healing is the dinner bell for the lost. We just need to believe God. I was at a restaurant a week or so ago and prayed for a lady. Her leg grew out and she had back problems. She didn't have any more back problems. She was a good waitress. And so we need to do those things practically. But when it comes to the church, when it comes to the family of God, when it comes to being together and recognizing that we're part of an organism, a local fellowship, James says, is any among you sick? See, number one, we're children of God. When we get sick, when there's things happen, there's a different way that God looks at it. Don't look at me that way. So we can get all condemned and say, well, we shouldn't. There's people that say we should walk in health and never be sick. But if we never got sick, why would we need healings, the gifts of healing? That would be God talking out of both sides of His Spirit. You'll never get sick again. The reality is any among you sick? James says, is any among you? He's talking to the church. He's talking to believers. He's talking to baptized people. He said, is any among you sick? It's a rhetorical question. People get sick. But when the members of the local church fall ill or some disease sees them, then God calls on the elders to lay hands and pray in faith. Why? Why, God, why can't just anybody lay hands and see healing? Well, we can when it comes to the world, but when it comes to the church, there's a way to do things. Come on, someone. God is a God of order. When I first got saved, 3 days after I got saved, I became a full-blown Pentecostal tongue-talking man. I mean, I did. I was 3 days after I saved, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues for an hour. Had my prayer language immediately. It wasn't ba 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 bee bee bee. It was complete prayer language. And man, I started going to Pentecostal church. I looked for a Pentecostal church, but it's part of a local assembly of God. And I went to Pentecostal conferences and I went all over the place. And I saw, one of the things that I saw, I was not a good Pentecostal because I saw disorder. In the 90s, there was plenty of disorder. Man, you'd go to a service, you couldn't even hear the preacher. People were laughing, falling on the ground, and being really disruptive. Now look at me like that. People say, well, this is a godly thing. Yeah, for a little while, but you still got to preach the word. Amen. You still got to instruct, construct. Come on. Can you imagine if God just said, well, will they just have the sun come up anywhere? North, south, east, west, it doesn't matter. Just come up. 7 o'clock, sun come up. You choose. Come on. Can you imagine God just saying, well, you know, summer, winter, spring, let's make it summer today and winter tomorrow. You know, it'll be 80 degrees and tomorrow we'll have 2 feet of snow. Come on. Can you imagine we just walking along and just fell over because gravity was too, you know, gravity got, or we started to float in the air. No, God is a God of order. God is a God of order. It's not wrong to have order if we make a religion out of it, like some people have. You know, 3 songs and responsive reading and go. We leave room for the Spirit of God, but God's a God of order. And James says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, number one, you have to realize who the elders are. Elders is not something you volunteer for. Elders is a call on your life. And we have elders here. We have Kim Mikes, we have Steve Ulrey, and we have Danny Donaldson. These are men of God that are called to be elders of the church, myself and my wife included, and their wives. And so it's incumbent upon us as elders to take that role when James says, call for the elders of the church. Well, who am I? I don't feel like I have anything. No, I don't have anything unless it's God. Unless God is moving through me. And God said He would move through me just like He makes the sun rise in the east and it's spring, wind, winter, summer, fall. He controls things because He's God. It's not magic. We don't have to play just as I am without one plea. We have to get all, you know, goosebumpy and say, you know, the power of God is here. No, He just says, is any among you sick? Call for the elders of the church. Why? Because we understand the order of God. We're part of the family of God. We understand the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We understand that there's a move of the Holy Spirit within us. And when James speaking to the church, he's speaking to mature members of the church. Healing is our bread. Healing is something that's for us, that God provided for us. It says if you want healing, just like you want to watch the sun rise, when you want to watch the sun rise, you turn to the east. Want to watch the sunset, you turn to the west. You want healing, you go to the elders. Come on, someone. And so I want the faith level to be lifted here today. Because in just a little bit, we're going to ask you to come with your needs. The sick doesn't just cover physically, it covers mentally as well. It covers financially as well. Maybe we're sick in a sick way. Maybe our relationship needs healed. Call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith. Let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil. Right here is the oil. See that? Everybody see that? This here is oil. It's not magic. It's just obeying. Come on, somebody. Am I talking to the right people this morning? See, when we anoint with oil, the prayer of faith, what we do is release our faith and say, and God says, I'm going to heal you. Not later, not when you leave the building, not when you go home. This afternoon when you get home, just continue to believe God. No, we're believing for healing now. Why? Because the Word of God says it. Come on, somebody. And the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. How do you like that? I get to feel better and be clean at the same time. And this is good stuff. And it's within the confines and within the construct of the local church. You can't get that as a believer. You can't get that by going some. I get that sometimes we go to other places and our faith is extended because this is somebody that's used in healing. I get that. That happens. But God's unique number one way to minister to His children is through the construct of the local church. It's just the way He does things. There are exceptions to every rule. And His grace and His mercy is for us to do, and we've all received healings at different places. But His number one ideal, the way that He's going to bring beauty back to the church, the way that He's going to bring power back to the local church, is to have these things happen on a regular basis. People are going to go, where do I go for healing? I go to a local church. Where do I go for counseling? I go to the local church. Why? Because we are the pillar and the ground of truth. Amen. We're not just some house. We're not just some, you know, I'm the church. It's the local church that God is working through. James is writing as a pastor and he's writing these things. And they're so very practical. And the Holy Spirit, watch now. Because the Holy Spirit is doing something. He's kind of teasing us a little bit. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. That's pretty practical. You suffer? I'm suffering. Well, let's pray. Lord, bless my brother that he doesn't suffer anymore. I'm happy. Well, let's sing. Come on, John. That's pretty practical stuff. If I'm sad, I'll pray. If I'm happy, I'll sing psalms. And then he says, he makes a leap. He says that those things, and you're reading this thing, yeah, I get that. And he says, is any among you sick? Wait a minute. There's serious stuff right here. Any among you sick? I know some sick people. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Just like you pray whenever you're suffering. And you rejoice whenever you sing psalms. Or when you sing psalms, it's because you're rejoicing. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. Now I looked that up in the original Greek. You know what it means in the Greek? The Lord will raise him up. I don't have the Greek word. You'll have to look that up. I don't know. This is so very practical. And we just need to receive it by faith. You say, well, I know these guys. I know Kim. I know Steve. I know Danny. I mean, Danny's believing for healing himself. Amen. How many ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Look at the hands. Smithy Wigglesworth was used in a powerful way to raise people from... He raised people from the dead all the time. For almost 2 years, he did it from a sick bed. They carried him up on a bed, and he laid on a bed and prayed for people, and they were instantly healed, and he wasn't out of bed yet.
Wow.
Read it. That's true. True story. The prayer of faith will heal the sick. Amen. Call for the elders. Come on, someone. He goes on to say in verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your trespasses to one another. He's still talking to the church. This isn't just a willy-nilly, you know, go and confess your trespasses. Get on Facebook and tell people the struggle. No, that's what the church is for. It's what the local body is for. To get together with somebody that knows you. That will guard you. That will protect you. That will cover over your struggle. Don't go tell the world and think that they're going to keep it quiet and then get upset when they don't. Yeah. Tell the world your trouble and then the world tells everybody else your trouble. You say, well, I thought you were my friends in Facebook. James is speaking to the local church and he says, Confess your trespasses to one another. Build a relationship with the local church that you can trust. Pray for one another that you may be healed. It's interesting that he draws a linear line between the prayer of faith will heal the sick and pray that you may be healed, because if you're, when you come up for prayer, if there's something you need to confess, confess it. That doesn't mean you need to get, you know, Dear Abby on us. We don't need to know all the particulars. Maybe right now the Holy Spirit's ministering to you to confess. Confess your sin, that you may be healed. Come on, someone. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I want to know who's righteous in here. Everybody better raise your hands. We'll set up counseling. Who's righteous in here? If you're a believer, you're righteous. So the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. That means when we pray together, when we obey God's word, God says, okay, I'm there. I'm answering prayer. Praying for one another in a personal way builds the body together and strengthens each one. General prayers are just that. Oh, the Holy Spirit knows. I always get kind of, makes me giggle when people say, well, just, what do you need prayer? Well, just pray. You know, can you imagine going to the department store? Can I help you? No, anything. Yeah, give me underwear, give me shoes. And what do you got? Sitting in a restaurant, you know, what, are you ready to order? Just bring me anything. Anything? Yeah, bring me anything. Just, what do you got? No, man, when you pray specifically. Don't get all spiritual on me. Well, just pray God knows. Well, I know God knows, but if we're going to agree in prayer, I need to know something. At least give me, you know, vicinity. We try to put God, well, God, if you're really God, I don't have to tell anybody. You can just prophesy through that guy. Sometimes that happens. God can do anything. Come on, someone. No intercessions and heartfelt prayers for someone who is part of the local assembly is the ideal and most effective kind of prayer. Pray. There's, all the Holy Spirit knows is, New Life has many opportunities for concerted prayer, and we have seasoned prayer warriors in our midst. You want somebody to pray for you, you have Virgene Stiller pray for you. She's a woman of prayer. Come on, somebody. She prays for you. You know you've been prayed for. Arlene Walitas, Marta Brace. Marta here today? Marta's not here. We have prayer intercessors. You are needed. Pray for the leaders here at New Life that we might be all that we can be for His glory. We have pre-service prayer. All are welcome. You can visit any time. You want power in the services? Let's press together and see the power manifest. I am asking for the faith level in this room to grow. Let's believe for healing manifestation right now. This morning, the elders are here. We are ready to lay hands on you. Witness the power of His healing in your body now. Now. Not after you leave or later this week or when the next special speaker comes. Today, the Word says it. Let's believe it together. Let the healing well that is prayed in here years ago be reopened. There's a healing well that was prayed here many years ago that needs to be reopened. We've seen over the last several years, we've seen some great healings happen. But let's bring our faith level up to say, I'm leaving different than I came in this morning. I'm going to leave healed. Why? Because I'm just obeying the Lord. Want to see the sunrise? Go to the east. Want to see the sunset? Go to the west. You want to get healed? Call for the elders of the church. Why? I mean, how's that going to change? I've had lots of prayer, and I don't think you guys are that powerful. No, we're not. But God is. Amen.
Yeah.
And if God says it works, I got to believe it.
Amen.
God's rules work for everybody. And then it says this, I'm closing. Then we'll get ready for prayer. Get ready to play that Holy Ghost background. He makes this comparison in James 5:17. Read this with me. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Of any example James could use, he chose Elijah. I mean, he could have used Joseph. He could have used Daniel, for Pete's sakes. I would have liked to have used Daniel because I can, you know, Daniel was a powerful guy. But he uses Elijah. I mean, remember the story of Elijah. Elijah went up against 850 prophets of Baal. He said, where's your God? Is he going to the bathroom? Maybe we'll wait. He's relieving himself. That's what he said. But he went to the king and he said to King Ahab, he says, I'm going to pray and the heavens are shut up for 3.5 years. And James says he was a man just like us. Come on, turn to somebody and say, Elijah was a man just like me, or a woman just like me. Says he was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. But also, right after that, he ran into the woods and was scared to death. 40 days he ran into the woods, you know the story, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and says, go back and do all those things. Prayer works if you work it. All we're going to do today is simply obey the word. Elijah just obeyed the word. God called him to be a prophet. He was a prophet. He said, you know, go and challenge the 850 prophets of Baal. And Elijah sent out the flyers and he said, we're going to have a showdown. And God honored the prayer of the man of God. But he wasn't anything special. And James calls attention to it. He says Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. He wasn't any superhuman race. He didn't come down from Mars Hill. He didn't come down from the mountains with the Greek gods. Elijah was just Elijah. He was just a man. We're just men and women here. We're nobody special. There's no superhuman being here. But when we pray and we obey God's word, God says, just like I use everything else in the universe and control things, I control the church, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When I ask you to call for the elders of the church and lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, I mean it. It's not a tease, not a carrot on a stick. This is something that if you'll obey my word and obey the steps that I ask you to take, I'll heal you. And it takes a level of faith. God will honor our petitions. You pray, we will agree, and watch what He will do. You come up full of faith. You say, I need faith. Well, God's got plenty of that too. Come on, somebody. I'm getting excited. What a powerful thing God did through this man. You have that same potential. We're just men. Same way as you. I got up, put my pants on just like you did today. One leg at a time. But I'll tell you what. I have faith. I've been praying all day. Watch what God will do. If you don't need a touch from the Lord, pray with us. You say, well, can I lay hands on you? Yeah, you sure can. But that's not what God said. God said, call for the elders of the church. And the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So, we're going to do that today. We're going to ask the elders and wives to come up. Elders and wives to come up right now. And as you're led of the Lord, come up. And like I said, it's not magic. We're just going to pray for you, pray with you. And the prayer of faith is going to heal the sick. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that your powerful word is practical as well. So Lord, it is that we step out in obedience this morning. I pray for the faith level of this room. to go to another place, oh God. Lord, we just simply believe your word. We simply hold you to your word. You said your word would not return to you void, but it would do what it was sent to do. And so this morning, Lord, we're standing on your promises. We thank you for receiving these prayers, oh God, and acting upon them by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.